England ghost stories run far and deep. It's one of the oldest parts of the United States and has seen countless brushes with the best and worst of humanity. Today, we hear real ghost stories in one of the most haunted places in America.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Then it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file to us. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you really like the show, support us. Keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP, at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Two ways to sign up. Support the show. Get all the bonus materials, bonus episodes every single week you get as an EPP. You also get advanced episodes of the show commercial-free that come to you weeks before they're released to the public. It's Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again, and two dogs that are running insanely and bumping the desk left and right.
They're super excited. It's the first time they've been in the new studio while we've recorded.
They're like, ghost stories, ghost stories. We love ghost stories. That's isn't that right, Sting, huh? Sometimes if I make his whining noise, he'll whine along with me. I wonder if I sing 80s jams, if he'll kind of go along with it.
He won't. He's not doing anything, so thanks for that.
He doesn't like Brenda Russell.
No.
Piano in the Dark, ladies and gentlemen. That's one of those songs that I've been hearing on, I don't know, Pandora or something recently, and I'm like, I forgot about that song. I didn't realize that. Is she dead? Is Brenda Russell dead?
That I don't know.
I thought it was, I was just thinking of that earlier, because these are the things that, while I'm making intricate decisions throughout my day, this is the random shit. This is like the mortar that goes between them.
That's how your mind works.
Yeah. All of a sudden it's like, okay, we really got to worry about this and think about that. Is Brenda Russell dead? Okay, now I got to think about something else
important. Exactly. Exactly. Squirrel.
No. She's not. I don't know. She's 70 now. Holy shit. I don't know. It was one of those, I thought I heard a couple years ago she was dead. And then I was like, what did she sing? And then, oh yeah, I remember that song. It's a shame she's dead, but she's not. She's not dead. So there you go. Neither is Stephanie from Full House either. She didn't die on Batman the Ride as a child, which I'm glad they confirmed that when Fuller House came out, because I was wondering about that from like fourth grade until 2014.
I never heard that as a kid.
Maybe that was just like a rumor up north, because we had Six Flags Great America in Chicago, and the big ride at the time that had come out was Batman the Ride. Maybe this showed up in other parts of the country too, but in my bubble it was only there. I don't know. It was probably released to like Six Flags everywhere. I didn't know there was other Six Flags either. I thought it was only in Chicago. Yeah. I had no idea, you know, Six Flags actually is originating in Dallas, you know,
in Texas. Yeah.
That was the rumor up there when we were children, was that Stephanie from Full House died on Batman the Ride at Six Flags.
Never heard that.
Breaking news. And it was just one of those childhood things where shit could just go forever. It's funny, like we can verify everything 10 times better now than we ever could in the past, yet rumors and shit like that, I feel like we could squash them quicker back then than we can now.
Well, you've got people that, you know, because they heard it someplace, it must be true. They don't even want to look it up.
Yeah.
You know, to see if it's different.
You'd think it would be the opposite. You would think that with all these ways of verifying, you know, you wouldn't have that issue. Don't pee over there, Bear. He's sniffing. Hey, go sit in your chair. Go sit in your chair.
I think what it is, he probably smells whatever dog lived here before.
Yeah, now he's going to let them know that he's here with his magical sense.
Here, smell my frosted Lucky Charms.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how he talks, by the way.
Doesn't sound like
he sounds like the leprechaun. from Lucky Charms. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us here on the program. Let's go to our first letter of the day. While I read this, keep two eyes on the...
I'm watching them. This,
you know, I'm doing like the two fingers thing, and then like I'm doing it to the dog, where it's like I'm watching you.
He's going to wait till you're busy. He's going to go behind your clock that's sitting on the floor and pee over there.
He probably will.
He's got this 3-foot clock in his office. He hasn't hung yet, and it's propped up against the wall so the dog can sneak behind there and pee.
I'm bad. It feels like somebody's watching me. Really good at the songs today. Let's go to our first story. It we can get down to it here. I'm not even ready.
Back to what we're supposed to be doing. I want a sign to hang on the wall that just says squirrel. That's all. That's all.
Here we go. Okay. Hello. I've been listening to your podcast for a while, and I've had a few stories growing up in old New England, home in Massachusetts, 15 to 30 minutes out of Salem, Massachusetts. I moved out of this home around 12 to 13 years old, and I'll never forget all the weird occurrences that took place in this home. My first ghost story is when I was around 7 to 9 years old. During summer vacation, I'd stay up on my little tablet or doing what normal 7-year-olds would do. It was one of those nights until finally around 1 a.m. I got sleepy and laid down on my stomach, shirtless, since it was hot in my room. I started to doze off when I heard my door creak open. Before I could turn around, I felt a chill down my spine and what felt to me like cold fingers brushing my bare back. I was terrified at that moment, so I did what any 7 to 9-year-old kid would do, hide under the blankets. I also did this thinking my dad or mom knew I was up. I woke up the next morning to my door being wide open. I asked my parents the next day, and they don't recall going into my room at all at night. I still try to rationalize this to this day, but I can't get the image of cold fingers brushing my back out of my mind. My second story occurred in the same house, but in a different room. Before my parents finally divorced, my mom had put a pull-out trundle in a spare room that I would sometimes sleep on. If I had a nightmare or it was cooler, I was lying down on the bottom half of the trundle getting ready to sleep when in the closet, I heard a circus-type music box-type tune playing in the empty closet. The tune would play for around 2 seconds and would take a 3-second rest as if the music box was being cranked. I was paralyzed in fear until I had the courage to wake up my mom. I tried as hard as I could to wake her up, even getting up and shaking her at one point, but she wouldn't wake up. That's where I drew the line and got up quickly, turned on the light, and bolted straight back into my room. I told my whole family this, but they wouldn't believe me. This happened when I was around 11 to 12 years old. My third and final story comes from my dad when he first moved into our old house. My father is not the type of man to lie about stuff. He's also not a believer, but he can't explain this weird experience. When he bought the house, he would stay up late, painting, putting in new floors, etc. He walked into his room. The TV was on. He didn't think much of it and turned it off and slept. Soon after he slept, he was awoken by the TV being blasted at full volume. So he turned it back off. This happened again for around 2 to 3 times until he yelled at the old couple names that used to live there to stop. Example, Betty and Ben, stop now. After that, he never had an issue with stuff like that. Hope you enjoyed my 3 juiciest paranormal stories. I have a few more. I might type them later, but they aren't anything more than these ones. Hope you believe me. Whole family acts like I'm crazy and insane when I tell them. If you have any idea what these things are, please tell me. P.S. Sorry, I had bad grammar. I'm not a good explainer when it comes to sharing these stories, but I can explain on the phone if you want better. So, there you go. Thoughts?
I love New England stories.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there is no shortage of them from up there. It sounds like this is a more recent haunting as far as the people haunting. It's not like old settlers haunting this mm-hmm. property. But it's interesting. I don't know if it's because it's such a densely populated area up there or exactly what it is, but there's something to where there's just so many more ghost stories, it seems like, come from New England.
They do.
Yeah.
It really seems like there's a lot more in terms of paranormal activity there. And it probably has a lot to do with the fact that, you know, obviously it's been there longer. There's more stories to be had and a lot more. Meanwhile, you throw Civil War into the mix and stuff, but there was a lot of violence in that area prior to that, too.
Yeah.
You know, so you have a lot of, you know, not even just war stuff. You know, you have people coming over with disease. You have all, you know, just settling and trying to survive. Mm-hmm. You know, all that, and then all the folks who were there. You know, the Native Americans who ended up, you know, suffering at the hands of that, with not only, you know, things from battles, but then the disease that was brought in.
Sure.
There's just so much shit, mm-hmm. and so much sadness that that occurred at that very spot. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I had to look out the window there because I saw a truck drive by. It's pick up all your dead tree day in our area because of the F2 tornado that went over our neighborhood. So there's trees everywhere and there's limbs and all that. So the city designated a day to go around and pick all of that up. And they drove really slow. We have nothing to pick up, but they drove really slowly in front of our house here. And for a moment, I was like, I'm going to have to leap out this window and tell them to stop because my graveyard is right there. And to someone who doesn't celebrate the festivities of Halloween, it looks a little messy.
But there's so many places decorated in this area. You know, in Branson, not so much. But down here, it's like a popular thing to celebrate Halloween and to decorate for it. So I think they were probably just admiring your...
I think they were admiring.
...decorating abilities.
They did stop for a moment, I saw. And big burly guy came out of the truck and he stood right there, right in front of it. And I saw a tear go down his eye.
You did not.
And he was taking a picture of it.
So full of shit.
And it was like that commercial, that Coca-Cola commercial from like 1970 something.
Right.
That's what happened. He just stood there admiring the gravestones.
I have seen people slow down and take pictures though.
I have too. It's either because they're admiring it or they're reporting it to the POA. I'm not sure. One of the two.
Hey, we're not the most decked out yard, so I'm sure that's not it.
Somebody built a pirate ship in their driveway.
They did. It's awesome.
Like literally, it's not the one you bought at Home Depot. They built a pirate ship out of wood from the ground up. And like, oh, that's a lot of work for a month.
You know, my dream would have been to have a Goonies themed Halloween front yard, but we can't do that now because they've already got the damn pirate ship.
No, I'm fine. I know you guys are like, ooh, pirates. Like, that doesn't scare me. Okay. I'm not big into the pirate idea for Halloween. I like zombies. I like graveyards. Mm-hmm. Pirates to me do not scream Halloween.
No, but I just thought it was cool.
It's cool. I like Goonies. It's not Halloween.
Okay.
So that's just kind of how I, yeah.
And that's where we'll take it to the zombie.
I want Night of the Living Dead haunted because I mean you already have a house.
Yeah.
That can be decked out to be spooky. I mean, it feels very forced when you put a pirate ship on the house. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's not quite, you know.
Did you share about the projector ghost girl?
What about the projector ghost girl?
About how awesome she is that you did that?
I mentioned that I did it yesterday
did.
With Carol, but I didn't talk much about it. No, yeah, those are pretty cool.
It's scary. It looked like there's really something in the attic.
I've wanted one of those things for a long time. This is the projector that you shoot at your window. It projects essentially a hologram at the window, and it's pretty cool. I did it first just onto the glass, and if you want to really freak somebody out that's really focusing on your house, that's probably the way to do it, because mm-hmm. just on the glass, it's transparent, and it really has an interesting 3D effect.
Yeah.
Where it's like, holy shit, that's creepy. This woman sitting there like kind of with her fingers pointing and like motioning you to come towards, and it's great. But it does take a little bit of focusing on the glass to really see it well. So I ended up putting up like a mat a little ways back from the window and shooting the image at that, so you can really see it well from the street. Mm-hmm. Loses a little something in terms of the oh my god, that's a real ghost aspect, but you can see it a lot better, and it makes it, you know, Halloween house spooky, not holy shit, your house is legitimately haunted spooky. That's kind of the difference in it. But I've been wondering about those for years because I've seen those at the stores. I'm like, that's a really cool idea. I wonder what that is. So went over to Home Depot or Lowe's or something the other day. Everything was on clearance. So I stocked up and got one of those for like $20. They were like 100 2 days prior. So
yeah,
there you go. Good deal. Not an ad for them either. Just what I found. I'm discovering, and I've known this forever, but I've never had a chance to decorate the yard or anything. And I'm like, okay, the way to do it is wait till the end of the season on this, on Christmas, on all that. And then you get all the stuff for like super cheap.
Yeah.
And just prepare for the next year. That's why I buy all my Halloween candy now. Just buy it, freeze it. God. And then
not true.
Kids are like, oh, it's last year's candy. Yes, it is, kids. And it's delicious. Freezer burned, but delicious. I actually had an aunt who did that. Oh, God. Except I think she just kind of ate it throughout the year.
It's too tempting. I don't think I could handle having it in the house that long.
She had a freezer with a padlock on it to keep her daughter out of it. It's real. True story.
Okay.
That's what happened. You're like, don't share this story. I'm going to share all the stories of my family. Look out, family. Shitstorms are coming. 8-5 I really don't have much. It's like the deep, dark secret of my... It's like, so we put a padlock on their freezer with Halloween candy. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Next story says, hello, I recently found your show. I love it. I like knowing there are people out there just like me. I wanted to share a few accounts that happened to me in my parents' haunted house. It's located in San Antonio, Texas. I was a teen when we first moved in, and not long after my first experience occurred, the phone was ringing, so I made my way towards my sister's room where the line was hooked up. Well, I'd spend hours yapping on the phone, so my sisters would try and shut that down any chance they got. So there I was, running down the hall, fighting off my sister who was trying to impede my progress. I slipped past her and shut the door behind me. Big mistake. As you walk into the doorway, straight across the room is a wall with a big chest of drawers, and the phone was on top of that. To your right-hand side is a big window. To the left is a bathroom. I saw something dark entering through the window. At first, I thought it was a burglar. Quickly realized it was a dark shadow that stood from the floor to the ceiling. So about 8 feet tall. It was opaque. It glid across the room and disappeared into the shadows of an unlit bathroom. As it passed the chest of drawers, one of my sister's makeup bags flew up in the air and crashed to the ground, spilling all of its contents. Time to get out. For a split second or two, the doorknob felt like it wouldn't turn. Oh, God, I was in a panic. The door suddenly opened and I sprinted out. My sister thought I made a mess in my rush to grab the phone. My family was skeptical, but that would later change. I started seeing this shadow through the corner of my eye at least once a week. Sometime later, I started getting frozen in bed, like I was being held down. I've since heard of this happening to others. I would pray and it would go away. Sometimes, though, I'd forget my prayers. Prayers I knew for years and years since I was little. That's when I became too scared even to be home. If it can make me forget my prayers, then it must have mental powers. Well, that was my conclusion, at least. I started finding anywhere else to be. My neighborhood wasn't the greatest. My parents knew me being out of the house all day would eventually have me running into the wrong crowd, so we moved. Some of my older sisters stayed behind in that house as they were in college. I finished high school in a small town and wanted to go back to the city to attend college. I asked my sisters about the house, and they said it wasn't that bad anymore, and I was welcome to come and occupy one of the empty rooms. By then, my sisters were living life, and I ended up being home alone a lot. Things started up again. Started hearing my name being called from behind me, and my mother's voice. Again, I was home alone when this would happen. That led to me having my cousin visit me as much as possible so I wouldn't be home alone. One night we were watching TV. Suddenly, the TV went mute. A noise started emanating from the back room. It started low at first, just loud enough to perk your ears, quickly escalated to an all-out growl. This noise encompassed the whole living room. It pinned me back into my seat. It was crazy loud. Growl is a mild way of putting it. Sounded like a growl mixed with pig squeals, human screams, and weird moans. Gave off an evil vibe. It stopped, and TV instantly went back to normal. We both ran out of the house as fast as humanly possible. I didn't bother going back to lock the door or anything. I remember crashing on my neighbor's couch the next day or two. I had the house blessed soon after, and that helped. I later moved out. My parents moved back in. My parents are very giving, and the house is open to all the extended family. All my sisters have stayed there at one time or another while going through a rough patch. Even some of my nephews and nieces have lived there for short amounts of time. Everyone has a story about that place. It's tolerable now, as my mom gets the place blessed at least once a year. She also has religious artifacts hung throughout the house. Every so often, though, someone will experience something crazy. I've recently heard the neighbors talking about weird things at this house. Maybe it moved over there. I hope not. Anyway, those are the few of the experiences that gave me the willies still to this day. I tell you some of my other family members' stories, so some are worse than mine, but I don't want to divulge without permission. All I can say is that one involves my sis in the shower and an unwelcome grabbing of her arm. Hope this helps others feel like this is a safe place to get their stories out. I know the look skeptics give, like trying to describe seeing a dinosaur. Good night and good luck. I'll sign up via Patreon. I'm down to help keep this channel alive.
I think it's interesting. Everybody in the house had a story, but by far, theirs was the worst.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like things stirred up more when she came back.
It's interesting that the family holds on to the house, too, as like a refuge, almost.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't think I've ever heard of that, where it's just kind of like this community house for shit gets rough, go to the family house.
Yeah.
Like that's interesting. I wonder, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, I guess like from a goodwill standpoint, it does, but financial and everything else, I don't know. I mean, it just seems kind of like odd.
Maybe they just couldn't bear to part with it.
That's what I'm getting at.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is there something about that house that the family's like, no, well, let's just let people, we have a lot of kids, a lot of family, and, you know, either they're growing up and they need a place to stay first, or people running hard times and it'll be there for them. I'm trying to find excuses to keep the house.
Right.
Essentially. I wonder if that's part of what's going on. It's interesting. What made me think of something else, they mentioned that the mother once a year has it blessed, mm-hmm. and has religious artifacts placed around it. What if you started up a business that's kind of like lawn repair or lawn maintenance?
And you just go around once a year and bless people's houses.
Not even. You do more like quarterly or every 6 weeks. Like, you know, you're like seeding lawns and fertilizing lawns. You're maintaining. It's like a lawn. Some lawns require more maintenance and more fertilization and all that stuff than others. Some you can do quarterly, some you need to do monthly, some are like yearly.
Mm-hmm.
You get the reseeding going on. That's like the full on, we're going to bring the priest in and go through the house and really get the demons out. You know, if it's already, you know, it's okay, it's not bad. There's a couple knocks here and there. That's just, okay, well, let's get on a maintenance plan. You know, mm-hmm. every four, you know, 2 months we come in and sage the house or whatever. You try and upsell a little bit. You try to make the situation feel just a little bit worse than it actually is, so you can get that next level in there. And today, if you sign up for our exclusive plan, you get the holy water included. So you get saging and holy water. Regular maintenance, you know, it's just the saging. But your neighbors down the road, they like the holy water. They've heard some rumblings about the burial ground stuff too. So I know you don't need it, but if you really want to be safe, you know, the holy water, you got kids, you know, the kids, I know one of the neighbor girls woke up in the middle of the night and, you know, saw the three-eyed demon and the writing on the mirror, and that, you know, she's not eating right anymore. And it's, you know, you don't need that. You know, she probably, you know, your kids will probably be fine, but you know, just, it's only $20 more. I'm just saying, but you'll probably be fine.
Yeah.
That's how you sell that shit.
Yeah, that is how you sell that shit. Wow.
I've never sold anything in my life.
Yeah.
So, but I could probably sell that shit.
Yeah, I think you could, but I don't know what your success rate would be.
Because, you know what the trailer would look like that you pull behind that truck?
God.
Big like crucifix on it. And you know, because people like do graphics really big and bold right now. It's not really understated. It would just be like, it's very cinematic.
Mm-hmm. No.
What are you saying no to me for?
Just no.
Like, I can't start this business?
No, you can't.
I bet there's a market.
Don't. I don't want to be that house.
They're the house that does the in-home exorcisms. It starts to become a thing. It's like a normal thing. It's a service you didn't know you needed. And suddenly it happens.
No.
I would never do it.
Okay, good.
But I wouldn't be surprised if there's some modern version of this that pops up.
Okay.
Not prepared to say it's going to happen, as I predict the future in a lot of things, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Okay.
That's where I'm at on it. Yeah. So do you want the holy water? Because like
no,
I said,
not
the neighbors
buying your holy water. God.
want the really good holy water, we bring it, we import it direct from the Vatican.
Stop.
It's, we can get the one from Our Lady of Saints down the road, and that's good. It's okay. But there's, you know, it's like layers of paint. It's like, you want the ultra premium? Or you want, you know, just the, you know, it'll last you a little while. Mm-hmm. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Or have me come out and exercise your home. No, I don't do that yet. Next says, I want to say I haven't been scarred or under any stress at the time of these occurrences. It happens right after I turn off the lights and television, so I know it's not me going on or going in and out of sleep or anything like that. I'm wide awake, being very aware of my surroundings. These images and such do not follow my normal patterns of imagination. I can't really explain it in any better than that. You'd have to know me and my mind to understand this. I promise you, I won't even tell more about these things if I thought it could be more likely just my imagination. The proof may come in its own time, but for now, all I must go on is what I see and hear. Tell me what you think. I believe this gift that I may or may not have may be finally developing and might all be a very wild imagination, but there is no way I could just make up some of this stuff. The way the images start out so simple and then unfold is very strange to me. It's normally just random things are flashing, but this is very different. It's like they know I'd be scared if it all came at once. I started seeing this image of these hands turning a crank. One hand is still while the other is turning in a clockwise rotation. I just thought it could be some type of churn or something. I had no clue. And the image began to widen and became clearer. It was an old type of hand drill. I didn't realize there was any importance to this image at the time. Then the spirit, or whatever you want to call it, started to come forth. And I understood what the drill was being used for. This man was suspended on some type of thin wall, like a plywood board. His arms were stretched out like as on a cross. The arms went behind the board at the elbows and were tied off through the other holes in the board. These two other men began using this hand drill and puncturing through the board through this man's hand. It was as if they were crucifying him. It was in a very horrifying way. Once they had the holes drilled through the plywood and through his hands, they ran a cord wire through and tied it off. I began to ask this man, why did they do this to you? He replied, because I'm gay. Back in those times, and even some places today, being gay wasn't exactly accepted or tolerated by many. These men were probably regarded as heroes by fellow co-workers, those afraid of being sexually harassed by this individual. But that is just speculation. I want to say this happened in the 1950s. I don't know why. It's more of a feeling than just a guess. And that is somewhat confirmed by the hand drill they were using that I saw. These men were torturing this man for being gay. Nothing more, nothing less. He told me the two men were co-workers. They were good friends before, and one day he decided to tell them about a secret he'd been keeping from them, thinking they wouldn't feel any different about him. He was very wrong. I asked him how they killed him, and he told me that they just beat him to death while he was suspended on the board, calling him all kinds of derogatory names and cursing him to hell, hitting him in the face with tools, bare hands, and pretty much anything they could pick up. I didn't see any other images of this experience other than the beginning where his hands were being drilled through. I think this was more for my protection. He didn't want me to see the worst of it. The rest was told to me by him. I felt bad at this point, and not just because of what happened to him, but because I was almost completely ignoring him, thinking about writing this story, and I wasn't doing much to help him. I kept apologizing over and over, saying that I was sorry this happened to him. He didn't want my apologies, though. He wanted these men to pay for what they did. He told me they were still alive today. They were old men now, with families and grandchildren. I told him that they would pay in their own time, if not on this earth, then when they stand before their maker. I don't think that comforted him much, though. He said he wants to cause them as much misery as they did him, but I told him that would not make things any better. He began to fade after that, and I heard nothing more. I hope I did something to help this person. I felt so bad about ignoring him, being so selfish and thinking only about how great this is going to be when I share the story. I'm pretty sure he was upset about that. I even apologized to him about it. He didn't seem to mind, but I realized I'll have to work on that. I was lucky he didn't just leave after that. But now I'm rambling. What are your thoughts on this experience?
I think it's interesting that the ghost came and divulged the story of what happened to him to the author, but I'm kind of wondering why he doesn't go and terrorize the people if they're still alive.
I wonder if that has something to do with the proximity thing of ghosts. Of, do they have a certain boundary limit that they can only stay in? And maybe these people are out of it, mm-hmm. and this the author is in it. Maybe this happened close to where the author experienced this.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, that's where the energy is. That would be my guess. I have no idea. I think another thing that they were struggling with in this story was trying to understand what is going on that I'm seeing these things, that I'm experiencing these things. I thought it was a really interesting account of someone who has visions, who has the ability to see and communicate and hear from the other side. I always wonder about that when you hear someone, you know, giving a reading or whatever you want to call it, where it's like, I, you know, what does Bill mean? You know, or whatever. And they go on and they're trying to just shoot out little bits of information to see what it means,
right,
and getting it defined. And this person, you know, kind of put it all together in a neat little package saying, here's what it felt like.
Mm-hmm.
So I would agree. I think this individual is starting to hone in on that ability. They certainly have it, and try to understand what it is.
Yeah.
I wonder if the more you understand what it is, the easier it is to interpret it and the easier it is to decipher what's going on when you have these things.
I would think like anything else, even if you're born with the ability, the more you exercise it, the better you get.
Yeah. That would seem to make sense. Thanks for sharing that story. Very, very interesting. Very sad story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. That's going to wrap up today's episode of the show. If you like it, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. EPP, go to ghostpodcast.com. Get yourself an early Christmas present. Do it for yourself. $5 a month. Sign up for the full year if you want. Get all the bonus stuff too. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.